আলহামদুলিল্লাহ আলহামদুলিল্লাহ নাহমাদুহু ওয়া نستাইনুহু ওয়া نستাগফিরুহু ওয়া নুমিনু বিহি ওয়া নতাওয়াক্কালু আলাইহি ওয়া নাউযু বিল্লাহি মিন শুরুরি আনফুসিনা ওয়া মিন সাইয়্যাতি আমালিনা মান ইয়াহদিহিল্লাহু ফালা মুদিল্লা লাহু ওয়া মান ইউদ্লিলহু ফালা হাদিয়া লাহু ওয়া নাশহাদু আন লা ইলাহা ইল্লাল্লাহু ওয়াহদাহু লা শারীকা লাহু ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليمًا كثيرًا كثيرًا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وفي أموالهم حق للسائل والمحروم صدق الله صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين In the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when the verses of zakat were revealed, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had placed this obligation of discharging zakat upon the ummah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent certain sahaba to collect zakat from the people. Umara ibn Hazm radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he says that Hazrat Ubay ibn Ka'b informed me that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam appointed him to go and pick up the zakat, collect the zakat from the people. So Ubay ibn Ka'b goes to one sahabi, and the sahabi was readily awaiting Hazrat Ubay ibn Ka'b, the zakat collector of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to come and collect the zakat from him. So he was a camel owner, and he presented all his camels before Hazrat Ubay ibn Ka'b. He told Hazrat Ubay ibn Ka'b radiallahu ta'ala that this is all what I own of the camels. It was about 25 camels in total. After evaluating the stock of this sahabi, Hazrat Ubay ibn Ka'b radiallahu ta'ala anhu mentioned to him that on this amount of camels, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed the obligation upon you to give one single one-year-old camel. A single one-year-old camel, what is what you'll have to give for all the wealth that you have. So this sahabi radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he tells Hazrat Ubay ibn Ka'b, a single one-year-old camel, it's a baby camel. It can't give milk, and it cannot be used as a conveyance to ride upon. Of what good would this small baby camel be? Why don't you take a fully grown, good size, fat camel that's worth a lot? This will be of more use and greater benefit. Hazrat Ubay ibn Ka'b radiallahu ta'ala mentioned that I cannot take anything more than what I have been commanded by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So if it's only a single one-year-old camel, then it's wrong for me to take more than that. So the sahabi says, no, please, I wish to give something extra. He says that, why don't you accompany me to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? You inform the Nabi of Allah of your good intention. And if the Nabi of Allah accepts, then alhamdulillah, well and good, you can give this. Ubay ibn Ka'b radiallahu ta'ala says that this man accompanied me, we went to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he informed the Nabi of Allah, O Nabi of Allah, your zakat collector came to me. I showed him all the camels that I possess. He told me on the amount that I have, on the total number of camels that I possess, Allah has placed the obligation of one 1-year-old camel. O Nabi of Allah, 1 year old camel is not of any use to anyone. It's a baby camel, it can't produce milk and cannot be used as a conveyance. So I suggested to him that he take something better, a fully grown, strong, healthy, well-built, good-sized camel. This will be of great benefit to whoever the camel is going to be given to, from the poor. But the Nabi of Allah, he told me that I cannot do as I wish to do, I have to come and take your permission. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard the sahabi. Nabi sallallahu was very, very pleased at the good heart of this sahabi, that he wanted to spend his wealth for the cause of deen, to fulfill the command of Allah with such a happy heart. It is mentioned in the narration that the sahabi said, he said, O Rasul of Allah, neither did you collect any zakat from me prior to this, nor did you send any of your zakat collector to collect any zakat from me prior to this. This is the first time I'm giving. Allah has asked us to spend in the path of Allah, to give our wealth in zakat. It's the first time I'm giving. O Nabi of Allah, please accept this from me. This fully grown camel. Nabi was so happy that the sahabi is fulfilling the command of Allah with what a happy heart, with the true spirit of sacrifice, trying to earn the pleasure of Allah. Nabi Sallallahu said that only a single 1 year old camel is compulsory upon you, but if you wish to give something more, then Allah will be happy to accept it from you. Nabi Sallam accepted it. Umar ibn Hazm, the narrator of this incident, who's quoting from Ubay ibn Ka'b, he says that many years later, in the time of Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, I was the zakat collector sent to collect the zakat from the people. Remember the time of Rasulullah sallam elapsed, the time of Abu Bakr passed, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu zamana passed, Hazrat Usman zamana passed, Hazrat Ali. Then came the time of Hazrat Muawiyah. Umar ibn Hazm says, I went to collect the zakat of the people and I went to this particular sahabi. So much of barakah in his wealth, so much of barakah, that now the total number of camels that he had was 1,500. And now the zakat that was due upon the wealth was 33-year-old camels. And he gave the zakat to the same heart that he gave the first time when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent the sahabi to go and collect the zakat. So when a person fulfills the command of Allah, fulfills the obligation of zakat with a very happy heart, and he does it in accordance to the sunnah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses him with barakah. Allah blesses him with abundance of blessings in his wealth. In this world also, the person sees happiness and success. In the akhirat also, even after passing away, in the grave also, the person will, he will be blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just for us to go through very quickly the virtues of fulfilling this obligation in accordance to the spirit of the sunnah. It is mentioned, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that every day Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends two angels to call out. These two angels make dua for those who spend their wealth in the path of Allah, in zakat, or in any other halal avenue for the pleasure of Allah. They make dua, the two angels come down. One angel says, Allahumma a'ti munfikan khalafa. Wallah, the one who spends that wealth in your path, the zakat, lillah, to earn your pleasure in the correct way, Wallah, bless him with a better replacement from the wealth that he had spent. And the second angel, Allahumma aati mumsikan talafa, he makes a bad dua that, oh Allah, the one who is holding back his wealth, he's not spending it in the avenue Allah has commanded, he's not discharging his zakat, he's not fulfilling what Allah wanted from him, that, oh Allah, you bring ruin and destruction to his wealth. So this is every day. Then you find Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, when a person passes away, he's made to lie in the grave. The salah that he used to perform in his life comes and stands on the head side. Then on his right side is the roza, on the left side is the zakat, and his feet side is the charitable works or the kind works he did to creation. If the azab tries to come from the front to destroy him, at the head side, the salah will safeguard him. If it comes from the right, then the roza, and the left is the zakat, it comes at the feet side, then the good works that he did, kind works that he did to the creation, that will stop him, that will prevent him. When a person is passing the pool sirat at that time, Nabi alayhi salam mentioned that his feet will shake, and he will be in great amount of fear and worry. The zakat that he discharged in his lifetime, that zakat will come forward and assist him to cross the pool sirat. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, when a person discharges zakat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses him with such abundant reward that it's like an investment that goes on increasing. It never decreases. And he'll see the goodness of this investment in this life, like how the sahabi had seen it. And he'll see it in the akhirat as well. Nabi alayhi salam mentioned that the person, one date he spends in the path of Allah. Person got a date orchard, he had to give zakat on dates. In the time of Sahaba had date orchards. So he takes that one date and he gives it in the path of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts that one date with great care and with great amount of appreciation. Hadith says Allah accepts it with the right hand. Allah doesn't have hands. But to express the gratitude that Allah shows, appreciation, the happiness, Allah accepts it with the right hand. From the both hands, generally the right hand is treated and regarded as more respectful. So you accept anything from someone, you are commanded to accept it with the right hand out of respect. Allah accepts this person's donation. Allah accepts this person's zakat. I've just said one date with the right hand. Then Allah Ta'ala preserves it in the akhirat for this person. In the banks of the akhirat, it is kept in safekeeping. And because he gave it to earn the pleasure of Allah in conformity to the sunnah, he fulfilled the haqq of Allah, he fulfilled the haqq of the poor man. Allah Ta'ala causes that date to increase in reward. Because it has the name of Allah on it. Allah is eternal, the reward of this person's charity and zakat will be eternal. It will go on increasing. Nabi alayhi salam said, like how if any one of you has a baby camel or baby foal or horse, how he takes care of it with so much of love, care, compassion, he grows it up, he nourishes it, he cherishes it, he takes care of it until it becomes a fully grown camel or horse. In this way Allah Rabbul Izzah takes care of that date. Until it becomes like a mountain, some hadith mentioned greater than a mountain. On the day of Qiyamah, where the servant will come, he say, Allah, I didn't do so much of good deeds, that what I see before me, like mountains, Allah will say that one date that you gave for my pleasure, in conformity to the sunnah, you fulfill the haqq of the poor people, Allah Rabbul Izzat will say, this is the charity that you gave, I kept it for you in the akhirat, and the rewards go on increasing. Then we find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran Majeed speaks about what will be that reward. What will be that reward? قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ Allah ta'ala, the opening verses of Surah Mu'min, Allah says that the believers are successful. Which believers? Allah enumerates their qualities. Allah says, أَلَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ Those who are very, very punctual upon salah, performing it with khushu and khuzu. And then Allah Ta'ala makes special mention, and they also, whom the zakat ifailun, they discharge the zakat. So when it comes to salah, then they punctual, equally punctual on the obligation of zakat. They fulfill it. In the end, Allah Pak says, for these people who have these special qualities in their lives, ulaika humul warisun, alladhina yarisun al firdaus. Allah says, in the akhirat, they will be the heirs. The heirs to inherit Jannatul Firdaus, the highest level of Jannat. So Allah Pak. On one occasion, a group of Sahaba had come to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Nabi of Allah addresses them. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what does he tell them? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, Inna tamama islamikum an tu'addu zakata amwalikum. That the perfection of your deen of Islam rests upon you discharging the obligation of zakat. If you fulfill the rights that you owe the poor people, the rights of Allah in your wealth, together with all the other hukuk and obligations, then your Islam will be complete. The completion of your Islam lies in you fulfilling the obligation of zakat, fulfilling the rights that Allah has placed in your wealth. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told him, Hazrat Abdullah bin Masood radiallahu ta'ala, ma bi iqamis salah wa ita'i zakat, faman lam yuzakki fala salat lahu. We have been given the command by Allah and His Rasul to establish salah in our lives. Establish salah, the ulama mentioned, to perform the salah in the manner Allah's Rasul commanded, to come to the masjid, performing it with jama'at, performing it in the correct sunnah postures, performing it in the prescribed time, in the way Allah is happy. So we have been commanded to establish salah in our lives, and we have been commanded to discharge the obligation of zakat. The one who does not give his zakat, fala salat lahu, there's no reward he'll receive for his salah. Imagine that Hazrat Abdullah bin Masood radiallahu anhu is quoting the hadith, that you have been given the command of salah and the command of zakat. If you don't do your zakat, you're not going to get any reward for your salah also. Allahu Akbar. Hazrat Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala, he says that in deen, there are three types of special obligations. These three types of obligations are such that they are paid up. The two obligations are always paid. You can never separate one from the other. These three are three separate pairs. How beautiful. He says the first pair, Ati'u Allah wa Ati'u Rasul. Obey Allah and obey the Rasul. These come together. A person cannot say, no, I'm obedient to Allah, but I don't want to follow the sunnah of Rasul, so I don't obey the Rasul. No, no. May yuti'ir Rasul faqad ata' Allah. If you're obedient to the Rasul, then only you're obedient to Allah. They come together. Ati'u Allah wa ati'u Rasul. So you have to put this together, otherwise you're not an obedient servant. Obedience to Allah is obedient to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Obedience to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is obedience to Allah. And then the second pair, being grateful and appreciative of one's parents. Your parents have done everything to you. They're the means of you coming in this dunya. You can never ever forget the ihsan of your parents, whatever it may be. Whatever differences perhaps there may be between you. You're upset with them for some reason or the other. But the ihsan of your parents are too great. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, وَإِنْ ظَلَمَا وَإِنْ ظَلَمَا وَإِنْ ظَلَمَا. The Sahabi says that, oh Rasul of Allah, even if our parents ill-treat us, then too we must be kind, compassionate and good to them. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, even then too we must be good to them. In the Quran, Majid Allah Ta'ala says, وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا أَنِشْكُرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيْكَ. Be grateful to me and be grateful to your parents. Allah Pak put both together. It's not possible for a person to be grateful to Allah if he's not grateful to his parents. You have to be grateful to your parents to fulfill the gratitude and be grateful to Allah. It comes together. And the third obligation that comes together, Aqeemu Salah wa Atu Zakat. Perform Salah and discharge Zakat. They always come together. So this is the importance of this obligation of zakat, how important it is. It is mentioned, Nabi Sallallahu also mentioned that nation who does not discharge their zakat, Allah withholds the rain. This famine, drought that spreads. You find Allah Ta'ala's mercy don't descend upon those people. Hazrat Anas radiallahu ta'ala says, on the day of Qiyamah, the poor people will come before Allah. They will complain to Allah, they will say that, oh Allah, that these wealthy people, you place our rights in their wealth. They didn't fulfill our hukuk, the wealth that they were supposed to give us, they didn't give us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be displeased with the wealthy on that day, the day of Qiyamah, the wealthy who didn't discharge the zakat. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will tell the poor people, that today I will bring you close to me, and I will distance these wealthy people from my mercy who did not fulfill the obligation of zakat. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam recited this verse, وَفِي أَمْوَالِهِمْ حَقُّ لِلسَّائِلِ وَالْمَحْرُومِ, that in the wealth of the wealthy, Allah has placed the rights of the poor who come to beg, and the poor who out of self-respect, they don't come to beg. As a result, people don't give them the zakat, they are deprived. This is all the important obligate, the virtues of a person giving the zakat. And the person who doesn't give the zakat, this is the wa'id, admonishments. On one occasion, the Nabi of Allah had seen two women and they had gold bangles. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked these two women, did you discharge the zakat of this gold bangle that you are wearing? They said, oh Nabi of Allah, we didn't discharge it. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told them, do you want that on the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to place two bangles of fire on your hands in place of these two gold bangles whose zakat you have not discharged? He said, no, we don't want that. He says, quickly go and discharge the zakat of these gold bangles, otherwise you'll burn in the fire of Jahannam. And gold and bangles of fire will be put on your hands. Allahu Akbar. The Nabi of Allah was concerned about this. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned in the Mubarak Hadith, a person has a lot of wealth, and he didn't discharge the zakat of that wealth. Then, on the day of Qiyamah, that wealth will turn into a serpent, and it will chase him. A huge python, huge serpent, and it will be running behind. The person will run for his life, and he would not be able to escape. It will then corner him. It will begin to bite his face. It will begin to tell him, Ana maluk, ana kanzuk, ana maluk, ana ka. I am that wealth you hoarded. I am the treasures you hoarded and you didn't discharge the zakat. In the Quran, Allah Pak says, وَالَّذِينَ يَكْنِزُونَ الذَّهَبَ وَالْفِضَّ وَلَا يُنْفِقُونَهَا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Those people who hoarded gold and silver. In the time of Sahaba, this was the wealth of the day. People that had gold, silver. So Nabi of Allah Pak says in Quran and inform those who will hoard the gold and silver. In today's time, other currency is a person not discharging the zakat on merchandise, all. He's increasing his wealth, he's building his business, but he's not discharging the obligation Allah put on the wealth. Allah says, وَالَّذِينَ يَكْنِزُونَ الذَّهَبُ وَالْفِضَّةِ. That those who will go on hoarding and increasing the gold and the silver. وَلَا يُنْفِقُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. They're not discharging the zakat Allah had placed upon that wealth. فَبَشِّرْهُمْ بِعَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. Give them the glad tidings of the fire of Jahannam. يَوْمَ يُطْمَى عَلِيَا فِي نَارِ جَهَنَّمَ فَتُكْوَى بِيَا جِبَاهُهُمْ وَجُنُوبُهُمْ وَظُهُورُهُمْ هَذَا مَا كَنَسْتُمْ لِأَنفُسِكُمْ فَذُوقُوا الْعَذَابَ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَكْسِبُونَ. They will be made to come before the fire. Their bodies will be branded with fire. Their foreheads, their faces, their sides, all parts of the body. And they will be told that this is in exchange of the zakat you didn't discharge. So respected friends, there's many ayat in the Quran and Majid. Allah Pak is explaining the importance of this pillar of deen. Our deen will never be complete if we do not fulfill the haq of the poor person by discharging the zakat and fulfilling it how we're supposed to fulfill it. So how are we supposed to fulfill it? Number one, when a person is discharging this obligation, he should discharge it with sincerity. A happy heart. To earn the pleasure of Allah. Like how the Sahabi did it. And then what will you receive? Allah says, مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ كَمَثَلِ حَبَّةٍ. That the one who spends that wealth in the path of Allah. Allah says, in the path of Allah. In other words, with a happy heart, with sincerity, fulfilling the order and obligation according to Sunnah. Allah says, like it's like a taking one small seed and putting it in the ground. The seed germinates and it grows. This one seed, the farmer, he puts that one seed in the ground. كَمَثَلِ حَقَمْبَتَتْ سَبْعَ سَنَابِلِ. And it grows into 7 years. And then in each year there's 100 seeds. أَمْبَتَتْ سَبْعَ سَنَابِلِ. فِي كُلِّ سُنْبُلَةٍ مِئَةُ حَبَّةٍ. Imagine he started with only one, and now he ends off with 700. And this is only by means of an example. Allah will bless the person with much more. He will see abundance and barakah in his rozi. The wealth won't decrease. Wallah, the wealth won't decrease. You give that zakat, how Allah wants you to give it, you'll see the barakah. Allah will cause that wealth to increase. A few years ago, I gave one bayan on zakat. One person told me, you know, Mawlana, you gave the zakat bayan, and I was really touched and motivated. I went the same day, I took out zakat, I gave extra. He says, with just few days that passed, he says, the amount of barakah Allah gave me, the amount I gave, Allah gave triple times. He says, Allah gave so much of wealth. When a person giving that,
must give it how that Sahabi gave. The second thing, that zakat must be given. It must not never be regarded as a tax or burden. This is not a tax. The government is asking for so many percent, you know. So many percent. And the person is giving that. A person is taking that money and is giving to, he's giving to the insurance, giving to insurance company. Now they're insuring my wealth. They're protecting my wealth. Allahu Akbar. He's giving it in a haram avenue, placing that trust upon the insurance company at the time of hardship. They will be there for me. Allahu Akbar. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned the insurance of a believer is zakat. Hassinu amwalakum bil zakat. Wadawu marbakum bil sadaqa. Wastaqbilu amwal al bala bil du'a wa tabarru. Look how, look beautiful. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, if you want to protect, secure and ensure your wealth, ensure it to giving zakat. If you give that zakat in the way you're supposed to give it to Allah, Allah Pak's divine assistance and protection, nothing can happen. Nothing will happen. You have to have conviction in the words of Allah and His Rasul. Many years ago, there was this one person, so he was burgled. A lot of wealth was stolen. He was worried. He came to the Mulana. He asked the Mulana, what's the story? I heard this from personally from this person. He doesn't live here, he lives somewhere else. So he said, I went to the Mulana, I told him, Mulana, what's the story? A simple person. So Ma said, what do you mean, what's the story? He says that I had this burglary I faced, and so much of my wealth, like, I lost. You see, the Mulana's first question to him was, so how's your zakat? Are you discharging the zakat? Person says that, no, I'm falling short. A lot of my zakat I haven't given. He says, that's it. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned, Hassinu amwalakum bi zakah. That protect, secure, in our words we say ensure. Ensure the wealth with zakat. Wadawu mardakum bi sadaqah. And when you're ill, you're sick, undergoes difficulty, then give sadaqah. Give nafil, charity. Allah Ta'ala will give cure to your sick. Wastaqbilu amwal al bala bi du'a wa tabarru. And the waves of calamities that come before you, then remove those waves of calamity to turning to Allah in dua and in humility. Turn to Allah, will remove it. Look, there's a prescription is given. One person, he mentioned this incident. He says that there was certain amount of wealth he had in his room, in his house. People burgled the house, they came in. He says that they took the wealth, there was a lot of money, And there was some jewelry, the wife's jewelry. So the jewelry they never paid the zakat on, but the wealth they paid the zakat. The thieves didn't see the wealth. They were next to each other. Didn't see the wealth, but saw the bangle, the jewelry. They took all the jewelry away. So he asked his wife, "Did you pay the zakat?" He said, "I never paid the zakat for a few years." He said, "Allah Pak said that went away." In India, it is mentioned, in the time of Maulana Mazhar Nanoti Ramutlali, Suma Mazhar Nanoti Ramutlali told the people, discharge the zakat on your wealth. Allah will protect and secure your wealth. So there was one person, he went, discharged his zakat, he did everything. He's a poor person, well, zakat was obligated on him, but he didn't have a lot of wealth. That morning, he wakes up about 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock, he sees that some thieves in his home, and they had his safe, he had a small safe in the wall. He's trying to break the safe. So he woke up, he told him, what you people are doing in my house, in my room? He said that, no, we thieves. We came to steal the wealth in the safe. So he said that, see, this the lock on the safe is a very, very cheap lock. But you people will never succeed in breaking this lock. Because I heard the Molisab, the big Molisab saying, the one who discharges zakat, Allah would protect his wealth. You can continue trying. I haven't got time to now be behind you all. I'm going to sleep. But you can continue trying. He turned around. He slept. In the morning, he woke up for further time. They were still breaking the head, trying to break it. He said, we can't break it. We're going away. He went, I told you all, you won't break it. Mawlana Sahab told you. He came to our Mazhar Nanoti Ramutlali. He said, Hazrat, aapko maloom aaj raat kya hua? You know what happened today? I said, what happened? He said, you say, give the zakat. I gave my zakat. This is what happened.
So this is very, very important that we have conviction in the words of Allah and Rasul. We understand if you do this here, Allah Pak will protect that wealth. And giving it in that haram to the insurance company, that is haram, we're putting it. The elements of riba, gambling and interest are found in these type of contracts, as though a person who he is connected to the insurance company, Allah save me, save all of us. As though 24/7 the man is in a gambling den. Because he's linked to this insurance company, he's in the gambling, he's gambling there. Imagine if you know some person, he goes to Suncoast and he's gambling all the time there with his money. We won't want to have any connection and any relationship with this person. If people see us next to him also, we're going to, you know, be at our... Why? Because this man, he's running the Suncoast, he's Allah safe. So this is gambling, one major sin. The wrath of Allah will come down. Then a person who is involved with the banks is taking interest-bearing loans. Overdraft, you can imagine what severe crime or haram. He said the person who takes one dirham of riba interest, it's like 36 times zina. Imagine a person, he got a agency, a prostitute agency, he's running the thing. The person who got a gambling den, you don't want to be his friend. The person who got an agency, you don't want to be his friend. Yet the Nabi of Allah is saying the one who gets involved in this riba, they're all cursed. All cursed. The one who, he does the transaction of riba, the one who gives, the one who takes, the one who's the witnesses, the one who writes, if all cursed. Hum sawa, all are equal, the Nabi of Allah mentioned. Here the person who's involved in this insurance policy, insurance contract, there's a double fold or double sin, the sin of interest as well as the sin of gambling together combined. Can you imagine how severe this man? He's under divine curse all the time. If our iman is weak, and we cannot give up these sins, at least don't justify it. Every day must cry to, oh Allah, I'm a sinner, oh Allah, I'm not doing the right thing, my iman is weak. Oh Allah, give me tawfiq, one day I'll leave this. So as if a person passed away in the interim, inshallah Allah Pak will look at him favorably. Allah will say, my banda, he was a good servant, you know. He never justified his wrong and changed my constitution. I sent down the Shariat of Islam to be followed. Allah Pak mentioned in the Quran Majid that وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا لِيُطَاعَ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. We didn't send the Rasul except that he be obeyed and followed. So you have to follow the Rasul. You can't tell the Rasul that, no, you follow me. I want to change the constitution here. A couple of things are not looking in order here. It doesn't suit my lifestyle or my business. It doesn't suit it. You can't do that. Allah Pak save. So coming back to this, the third thing is that when a person is giving that zakat, he should give what is of good stock. If he's giving for merchandise, he must give at least what is average or something that is of good quality, superior. He shouldn't give inferior stuff. It can't sell. In the Jamiat it is mentioned that one person came to the Jamiat many years ago and he brought some shoes. He said, I got all the shoes to be given. Please give it to the poor. He says, the Mulana saw only one leg. He says, who has the other leg? He said, no, someone stole it. So I had to put all in one leg. He said, now we must look for poor people who got one leg to give this. So the man, he didn't know what to do with that. He just said, give it to Allah. Allahu Akbar, Allah save you. Then zakat, when he's discharged with proper calculation, a person should go to the ulama, find out, am I discharging the zakat correctly? What are the masail? Make sure. A person going to buy a property, the property is 50 million. How much of homework will go in there before he buys the property? He don't want to make a mistake. You know, hey, my money. So he knows what that money means to him. The zakat should be given those who are eligible. Must give it to the right recipients. Person now is just going to take it and give it to anybody. The person must be a recipient of zakat. You cannot give zakat to your descendants and ascendants. Parents, grandparents, children, grandchildren, all the way up, down. You can't give zakat. Brothers and sisters, yes, we can give zakat to them if they are poor. If they are poor and living, we can give it. We shouldn't tell them it's zakat. We don't want to hurt them. You can tell them it's a gift. I thought of you, give you a gift. Alhamdulillah, it is a zakat gift. So it's not speaking lies. But you didn't tell them. So you can give it to them. Aunts, uncles, nephews, if they are eligible, if they are poor, you can assist. To start with family is always better than giving to others outside, because family has a greater right over us. A person who gives some charity to one's family gets a double reward compared to giving charity to others. But it doesn't mean you must only give family. But we must give preference to family over others. Then when discharging the zakat, it should be always from pure halal earnings. From doubtful or haram wealth, Allah Ta'ala will not accept that. إِنَّ اللَّهَ طَيِّبْ لَا يَقْبُلُ إِلَّا طَيِّبْ. Allah is pure, Allah only accepts what is pure. If a person gives from haram, it's rejected. It's rejected. A person who gives the zakat, الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ أَمْوَالَهُمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ لَا يُتْبِعُونَ مَا أَنْفَقُوا بِمَنَّوْا وَلَا أَذَى لَهُمْ أَجْرُهُمْ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ. Allah Pak says, who give that zakat to the poor people, and they do not follow up that zakat with giving reminders to the poor man, that you gave the poor person. Don't cause pain to his heart. Every time you see him, then you expect him must tell you thank you, and he must now go out of his way to respect you, he must give you a lift in his car, he must do this for you because I'm helping him with zakat, Mawlana. So, hey, no. So this says that you gave it for Allah. You don't give it for other motives and reasons. So don't expect anything in return. You're giving it to Allah. Allah knows. Allah must reward you. You must think that the poor man is doing you a favor. Mawlana Ibrahim Gulam said so beautifully. See, the person who's giving that zakat, he must think that he's taking his clothes to the dhobi. He's taking his clothes to the washerman. Let's take a person who's going from here to Makkah, Mukarramah, Medina, Tayyibah. He's going to another part. He's a traveler in the path of Allah. In a foreign country. He's got his clothes. He needs now the laundromat. He needs to wash the clothes. So he takes it there. Will he be proud in front of the laundromat person? The laundry person will be proud. He'll be speaking in a very arrogant style, dictating his terms or whatever the man says. He'll be listening to him in a humble way. The man is doing me a favor. He said, no, you brought it wrong. Bring it after 2 hours. He'll bring it after 2 hours. Why? Because you'll have to end up washing your own clothes. You know what it means. You'll bring that thing, you'll give it to him in a humble way, and then you'll pay the money on time, you'll take the Jazakallah, thank you. So in the same way, this man who is accepting that zakat is doing you a very great favor. The obligation of zakat is being fulfilled through his means. He's purifying your wealth. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned that the one who gives zakat, the zakat when he takes it out, gives the poor person, his wealth is pure. His wealth gets purified, so this man is helping us. Allahu Akbar. How we should look at him? How should... So Allah Pak mentioned in the Quran, that those who give that wealth in the path of Allah, so they did a good deed, to earn the pleasure of Allah, according to the sunnah. ثُمَّ لَا يُدْبِعُونَ مَا أَنْفَقُوا بِهِ. Whatever they spend, they did not follow it up with giving reminders of their generosity, or to cause any pain and hurt to the poor person. لَهُمْ أَجْرُهُمْ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ. For those people, the reward is secured by Allah. In other words, if you got that reward, but you went and now, you destroyed it by doing all that haram, then by Allah you won't find anything. Then the next thing is, when a person gives that zakat, zakat should not be discharged for show ostentation. Giving it for show, making a publicity of this year, destroys the reward completely. Destroys the reward. The people of the past, they should hide and do the good works. Like how a person hides when he does guna, they should hide it, do the good work. I did it for Allah. Allah must accept it. You know? Allah must accept it. Then it's mentioned, a person, we should understand the masail. So I don't know, whose zakat cannot be given? Zakat to ascendants and descendants. Zakat cannot be given to the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You can't give the family of Rasulullah. Zakat cannot be given to a person who's wealthy, or the children of a wealthy person. You can't give zakat to the children of a... But husband cannot give the wife cannot give the husband zakat. He cannot give the zakat to these people. The person who possesses the nisab amount, you cannot give zakat to him. He's got the nisab amount, you can't have it. So zakat is, now what are the few important masail? Zakat is obligatory, compulsory upon every Muslim who's baligh. Zakat is not compulsory upon the wealth of children. The child got a lot of money, millions also. The child is not baligh, there's no zakat on the wealth of the child. People don't know this masala. Every year they take out the zakat from the children's money. ED or something, they got so much, they take out the zakat. They don't know, so taking out the zakat. So this is not right. If parents have taken the wealth from their children, given his zakat, then they must now reimburse the children. Compensate them. They must compensate them. So it's not right. So zakat is compulsory upon every baligh Muslim. Who's sane, person who's insane, you don't have to give zakat. And he possesses the nisab amount, the nisab of zakat, that is 200 silver coins, that, or the equivalent in other currencies, if you find out from the Jamiat, they tell you exactly how much the nisab is. And the money stays with him for an entire lunar year. So let's say, for example, a person, the first time he acquired wealth was on the 1st of Muharram. 1445. He got it this year. Good. The wealth stayed with him for an entire year. On 1446 Muharram, the first 1 year, if he has nisab or more than nisab, then 2.5% will be compulsory and obligatory upon the wealth to be paid in zakat. So why he got nisab? You have nisab in the two ends of the year, the beginning. So he must keep a mental note, or he must write it down that on the first of Muharram, for example, he got, it was a nisab amount. Let's say nisab amount is 9,000. So he got that. In between the year, if the money decreased, it came to 5,000, 4,000, 2,000, not a problem. On the 1st of Muharram, 1446, if he has 9,000 or more, he'll have to pay 2.5% of zakat on that wealth, because this is the law of Allah. In between, it decreased, not a problem. However, if in between he lost everything, it came to zero, it means that the entire amount of nisab was depleted, it was exhausted, it was, then that 1445, the zakat date won't remain, because he lost everything. The next time he gets the nisab amount, he must remember that date, then the wealth has to stay with him for an entire year. So this is the first. The second thing is, if a person's zakat date is first Ramadan, whatever it is, so on the first of Ramadan, he'll calculate all the wealth that he has. When we say all the wealth, we refer to all the zakatable assets he has. So he's not going to take in account his house that he's staying. He's not going to take in account the car that he drives. These are all the necessities of life, the cell phone that he has. All these things, Allah Pak has not placed zakat, you're using it. Allah Pak has not put zakat on these things that you're using. So he will not take these things into account. All the zakatable wealth, he will put that together, evaluate it, calculate it, add it up. If it comes to nisab amount or more, after deducting all liabilities and debts, let's say a person he added on the first of Ramadan, he added all his assets, all his wealth, it came to 150,000. He got merchandise, he's selling, he has to add that also. He put it together, it came to 150,000. Then he looks at his creditors who he's owing. So the people that he's owing is 50,000 he's owing. So 150,000 he's owing, 50,000 he's got 100,000. Then he needs to look at the people who are owing him, all his debtors. Those who are owing him in exchange of wealth that was sold to them in merchandise, goods of trade, that type of wealth that he sold to them, they owe him money. So he had 150,000, he took out all the debts and liabilities, came to 100,000. Then he looked at the people that are owing me money, they are owing me, I got 80,000, they are owing me for merchandise I sold. He will add 80,000 to the 100,000 now. He got 180,000, he'll have to pay zakat on 180,000. So basically, he's going to put all the zakatable assets together, he will calculate it, he will remove debts and liabilities. If people are owing him wealth, he gave people loans, then all that has to be added to his zakat calculation, and he will pay 2.5% on all this wealth. Now, you see, people could be owing you different types of money, right? One is, so the ulama explained there's three types of debts. One is a strong debt, one is the middle debt, and one is a weak debt. So what you'll add to the zakatable asset, you'll add all strong debts. Middle debts or weak debts are not going to be included. It's important for us to know what are the middle type of debts and the weak debts. So, let's say, a person, he's a carpenter. A person is a carpenter. So he did some services. He did some services for someone. The person is owing him money for services. Services are regarded as a weak debt. So all the amount of money that are owed to the person for services, he will not add all that money to his zakatable assets. A person is a doctor. and for some service people owing him money. When he's working out his zakat, all the money that's due to him, for that he won't include it, because it's for services. A person got a flat. He got a flat, he's giving it on rent. The amount of money that has to be paid to him in rentals, that is the middle type of debt. So middle type of debt to the weak debt, you don't pay zakat on these debts, because till a person doesn't receive it. So the tenant never paid the rent for 5 years. After 5 years, he brought the rent. The person will not have to pay zakat for the 5 years that the rent was owed to him. But the person who is working out his zakat, if he is owing someone for these services they did, he will deduct it from the amount that he's owing. He is owing, he'll deduct it. But the person who the money is owed to, he will not include it in his zakat calculation. Very important. A person's father passed away, the inheritance hasn't yet come. So the people never get inheritance. They're delaying in winding and distributing the estate between the heirs. 2 years passed. So after 2 years, the money came to the heirs. The heirs got it. He says, Mawlana, do you have to pay for the zakat of this amount for 2 years? No, you don't have to pay. It's a weak debt. So for all weak debts, you don't have to pay. You don't have to include in your zakat category till you get it. Till you get it. For middle class debts, I mentioned middle class debts is like rentals. You don't have to include it till you get it. But strong debts, you will have to include it. What are strong debts? Any merchandise you sell to people and they're owing you well, that debt you'll have to include it. You'll have to include that. You gave people loans, you'll have to include it. So the man paid you after 10 years. For 10 years, you have to pay the zakat. But Sharia gives you the option that if you want, you don't have to pay it same time, because you don't know the man's going to pay you, not going to pay you. When he pays you after 10 years, you can give it for the 10 years. Or if you want to give it in advance every year, you can put it in your calculation and you can discharge the zakat on behalf of it. So Allah Pak makes it easy for us. You know. A person, Mawlana, I bought a whole shipment. I bought the whole shipment from China, it's coming, where is it? It's in the water. So now my zakat date came. He did the deal 1 week before his zakat date. Now the zakat date, must I include the shipment of merchandise that's coming, it's in the water, it's in the sea, to my zakat, must I include it? Yes, he has to include it. Because he already bought it. When Ijab and Qabul took place, when there was an offer and there was an acceptance from both parties, then the person in China became the owner of the 1 million rand of merchandise he sold. So that man, if that person in China, he sold the merchandise for 1 million, and then 1 week later, his zakat date came, he left to include the 1 million in his zakat calculation. So you must include the merchandise in your zakat calculation. But you don't have to give it now. When it comes in your hand, then you give it. So if it got destroyed, something happened, Allah Pak won't make it difficult upon you. Person had a fire. He had a fire and everything went. He said, no, maaf. Allah Pak says, maaf. You don't have to. He said, Allah is Ghafur Rahim. Then zakat is only payable. What are zakatable assets? Zakatable assets, gold and silver. Gold and silver. If a woman got jewelry, if she's wearing the jewelry or she's not wearing it, this is something she has to give zakat on. As we mentioned, for other things that a person is using, it falls under necessities of life, the car, the house, you don't have to be. But a woman's jewelry is different. That she has to pay zakat on the jewelry, gold, silver, she has to pay the zakat. So a person got jewelry, gold, silver, you pay zakat on this. You got cash in hand, cash in the bank, you got different currencies. All this, a person got shares in company, in a company. So in proportion to the amount of shares he owes. He got 10%, he owes 10% shares in a certain company. You look at 10% of the zakatable assets in the company. Now remember, a person bought 10% shares in a company, he is a 10% shareholder. Everything of that entire company is 10% owner of that. So the 10% that he owns in that company will include fixtures and fittings, the vehicles of the company, the building. The 10% will be in all these things. But you don't pay zakat on all these things. So you'll pay zakat on the 10% of the merchandise that is in the company. 10% of the merchandise. So a person needs to find out 10% of the merchandise, how much it comes to, what's evaluated at, you pay 2.5% of that. Then, if a person, he's a trader, he's got a shop, he's selling. So now you'll have to pay 2.5% of all the merchandise you have. It's a very, very important question, pertinent question. People say, Maulana, I bought my goods, my stock in trade, I bought it. This is the amount I bought it for, the cost price. And this is my selling price. So I bought it for 100 rand, I'm selling it for 150 rand. Must I pay zakat on the selling price, or I pay zakat on the cost price? You don't pay zakat on the selling price, you don't pay zakat on the cost price, you pay zakat on the market value. In other words, that this particular type of merchandise in most places in the market, what the consumer generally pays, you look at that price. So if, for example, most places you'll get it between 120, 130, look at that as a gauge. So you'll evaluate, you'll add it up, you calculate accordingly. And you'll have to pay the zakat accordingly. If a person, he sells cars, he's buying and selling cars, so because he's buying the cars for resale, it's his merchandise. He'll have to pay zakat on the total value of all the cars, 2.5%, because he bought it for resale. But if a person, he bought a car from so and so person, he bought it with the intention that, I'll drive it, I'll be using it. Then later on he intended, no, I want to sell it. So because he didn't buy it with the intention of resale, there's no zakat on this. If he sells the car and he gets the money, then he will add that money. If that money stays with him till his zakat date, then he'll include it in his zakat, tells you, pay 2.5%. If he used the money, use the money. So it's not zakat, it's not a zakat, zakatable asset. If a person you're buying flats, you're buying buildings for resale, you'll pay on all those, the entire value of the building, because you bought it for resale. But if a person bought a whole block of flats for rental purposes, to rent it out, you don't calculate the entire value of the building, because the building is not for sale. Here you'll only take the rent, and on your zakat date, and you'll have to pay this. On gold and silver you pay, on any other metals you don't pay. Platinum you don't pay, rubies you don't pay, diamonds you don't pay on all these things. You only pay on gold and silver, unless a person purchased all these metals with the intention of resale, then he'll become a goods of trade, and he'll have to give zakat upon this year. Let's say, for example, a person's zakat date was 1st of Ramadan. 2 days before the 1st of Ramadan, his father passed away, he inherited 1 million. He had 100,000, he got 1 million. How much zakat he'll pay? 1,100,000. And if, for example, his zakat date had 100,000, 1 day after he got 1 million, he'd only give 100,000, because this now 1 million came after the zakat date. This is for the next year's calculation. Allah Rabbul Izzat has given a person the choice. Allah give us ikhtiyar. We have 1 year to discharge the zakat. 1 year. Some people feel that, no, on your zakat date, you calculate the zakat, you must give it the same day. No, you don't need. You got 1 year. Let's say the first of Ramadan, you worked out your whole zakat, you need to be give, for example, 50,000. You got the entire year to give the 50,000. As long as the next year's zakat date doesn't come, you must finish it. If the following year's zakat date comes and the previous year's zakat wasn't complete, you still got some balance, now you sinful in the court of Allah. Now you gunegar. So before that next zakat date, the thing must be complete. Sometimes people, they give the zakat to different organizations, they're sitting with that zakat for years and years, people in the account, they're sitting, they're not giving it. So that's why, you know, before giving it to any organization, we should make sure we give it to the right hands, the right people, they know how to discharge the zakat. So, you know, alhamdulillah, it's reaching the recipients. If a person didn't discharge the zakat for previous years, then he should now do the calculation, and he should now go to the ulama, learn about the zakat, and then he should go and discharge it. Otherwise, he'll be in for trouble. A person, he got insurance. Every year he's giving insurance. Now, when he's giving that insurance, why? It's haram. He must make a lot of tawbah. But when that insurance payout comes out, he has to include all the years that money was given insurance. He must pay the zakat for all that. The making the tawbah is separate. He must make tawbah for this, right? And the time to come out of this. But the zakat for all that, he has to give it. He has to give the zakat for all this.
It's one important masla, and then we'll end. Let's say I was explaining about strong debts, middle debts, and weak debts. A person, he sold his business for 1 million. He sold his business for 1 million. Right? So the person is owing him 1 million, they only paid after 10 years. For 10 years, he'll have to pay the zakat of that 1 million for 10 years. Because it is merchandise. It's a business sale. But if a person, he had a car, and he sold that car, he had a house, and he sold that house. Because the house was not purchased for resale purpose. He had the house, and now he decided to sell that house. He sold the house for 1 million. The money came in after 10 years. When the money comes after 10 years, he has to pay the zakat of that 1 million only for the year it came. For the 10 years, he won't have to pay it. Because it wasn't merchandise, it wasn't a business transaction. So this is very important that we understand these important masail. Anybody got any questions? They got fees for what? They cannot take the zakat money to pay the fees. It's not permissible. They must make chanda and make collection from their own to run the admin. Right? But our zakat, Allah Pak said that the zakat must be taken and it must go to the poor people. It cannot go to any person's admin fees. Zakat cannot go for any remuneration, services. You can't give it. So this is what certain organizations are doing. If they're doing that, they're taking people's zakat and they're paying the person who is going to collect the zakat, or they give for admin fees, is not permissible. The zakat won't take place. No, you must tell them that, are you people doing this? Say, we're not going to be giving you all. They say, no, we don't do that. Then you can give them. See, if you trust the organization and the ulama, reliable ulama running it, then you give it, inshallah, zakat will be done. No. You won't know exactly. If you give zakat to an organization and you give them permission to convert it into food and then give it to the poor, that's also permissible. That will be permissible, of course, because they're taking the money, and of course with the permission they must inform the donors. They will take your money, we're going to buy food, because the poor people will need the food there more than the money, and then you will give it to them. That's also all right.
No, I'm asking, like, say, for example, you are Palestine, but this guy needs that. And on the other side, you are saying, oh, Madaris, that's taking this zakat and paying the fee. Which is more beneficial for you, or is it none of your...
No. See, you don't. See, let me explain to you. You see, firstly, we must give both places, because the ummah requires it on both sides. The ummah requires it on both sides, right? In the madaris, what happens is that they don't take the zakat and give it to fees. No, they don't do that. I'm talking about the reliable madaris. Yeah, the reliable madaris. They don't do that. What happens is that, you see, there are poor students in the madrasa who cannot afford the fees. So they will ask those poor students for permission to accept zakat that the public gives the madrasa for the poor student. The zakat that is being given to the madrasa, the public will give it to the muhtamim, the principal. They say, we're giving the zakat to you, so that you spend it on the poor students in the madrasa. So they'll ask the permission of the parents of the poor children, that you're not paying your fees. You haven't got the money. You'll give us permission to accept zakat on your behalf from the public. Make us the wakil, make us your representative. So the parents will say, yes, we make you all the representative. So when they collect the zakat from the public, they collected it on behalf of the parents of the poor children who are eligible to accept. So when they accepted it, as though it went into the hands of the poor people, because they made them the wakil, it became the zakat got discharged. When the zakat, as though we took it and we gave it to the parents of these poor children, and then they gave it back to us as fees, and now we use it in the madrasa. So this will be informed to the parents of the poor children, we're going to accept the zakat, and we'll use that zakat to contract the fees that you need to pay the madrasa. So the parents say, yes, no, we give full permission. This is what's done. But any organization that is taking that zakat and giving it as fees, example, if somebody brings zakat and give it to our principal, and he says that, no, let's just give it to the ustans. Ustaz, for the services they're teaching, you cannot take zakat and just give it to them. Then the zakat won't take place. Now the important masala is to zakat. Zakat will be discharged when it's given to a recipient. Example, a person, he has a zakat, he came and gave the masjid. Masjid is not a poor recipient. Zakat won't take place. Person, no, I got some zakat, I need fans here, or zakat won't take place. A person passed away. A dead man, we need the kafan. We need to purchase a kafan for him. Someone got zakat. Zakat won't take place. Why? Because the man, he's a man, but he's dead. He must be a recipient who's alive. Poor recipient who's alive, we can. So, the zakat. But if a person, let's say a person, he got the zakat, he bought a hamper with the zakat money, and then he went and gave a poor recipient in the month of Ramadan, zakat will take place. Because it reached the recipient, you knew a relative, maybe they need a condition, right? You know, so he said, they're poor, so he said, let's help them. So you took that money, you went and you purchased the air condition, you got it fitted, everything, with the niyat that this is zakat. You don't have to tell them, the zakat will be discharged. Allah Pak made it so easy, the zakat also. But in the month of Ramadan, a person, you invited some people home, you gave them a nice feast in your house, you made niyat zakat. Zakat won't take place. Because you cannot make it mubah and permissible for him to eat on your dasturkhan. It must be handed over to him. They must tamlik, they must be made the owners of it. So it's good that you clarified that what the madrasas are doing. So this is how it's working. Anybody got any other questions, Jay? Only rent. Yeah, only rent. Not the value of the house. You gave someone the zakat, or you gave someone a gift. Yeah. Right. She must include it, yeah. She must include it in the zakat. Zakatable asset, because but this is only when you buy it. If you give someone a gift and they make the intention, they will say there's no zakat there. Zakat is only when you buy it with the intention of resale. If you gave someone a gift and they had the intention, no zakat there. Yeah, only if they sell it and they get the money, then they have to give the money. So this is, it has to be purchased. It has to be purchased, yeah. Yeah, they have to. If the husband wants to pay his wife zakat, or parents want to pay the children zakat, and the children are baligh, they have to take permission from their children before they discharge the zakat on their behalf, otherwise it won't take place. Every year. Yeah, every year they must take, every year. Every year they must take. Allah gives you the option, when you receive it, you can pay, or you can pay in between.
Can I make a condition?
Yeah.
That I owe you $1 million,
right?
So, till you hold
in
$1 million,
you gave the loan, so you're getting the reward in the akhirat. So, you're getting the reward in the akhirat, you have to pay that thing. If it's a bad debt and the person lost hope and the person don't want to give, then you don't have to give the zakat. Allah Pak makes it maaf. Yeah, no. We say bad debt means the person said, I'm not giving you, and there's no way to retrieve it. So then that's maaf. But if the person says, I'm poor, give me respite, then when you get it, you have to give the zakat. Yeah, you have to get to give the zakat. Yeah, what is it? see, if someone's receiving salary, right, then if the salary is more than the nisab, then this law will apply. Example, the nisab is 9,000, but he's only getting, for example, 5,000. Then he haven't got the nisab. But if he's getting salary and the nisab, for example, 9,000, he gets 9,000 or 10,000, then the first day he gets that amount of money, he must remember. This is the first day. One lunar year that passed, on the day, if he has 9,000 or more, after taking out the debt, then he must give 2.5% on that. اللهم لك الحمد كما أنت أهل وصلي وسلم على نبينا محمد كما أنت أهل وفعل بنا ما أنت أهل فإنك أهل التقوى وأن يا أول الأولين يا آخر الآخرين يا راحم المساكين يا ذا القوة المتين يا أرحم الراحمين ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين اللهم صل على سيدنا نبينا مولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ونبينا مولانا محمد صلاة تنجينا بها من جميع الأهوال والآفات وتقضي لنا بها جميع الحاجات وتطهرنا بها من جميع السيئات وترفعنا بها عندك أعلى الدرجات وتبلغنا بها أقصى الغايات من جميع الخيرات في الحياة بعد الممات إنك على كل شيء قدير إنك على كل شيء اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا ولأساتذتنا ولمشايخنا ولمن له حق علينا ولمن أوصانا بالدعاء يا أرحم الراحمين ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم تب علينا يا مولانا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وآله وصحبه أجمعين برحمة الله يا أرحم الراحمين